everybody. Welcome to Chosen Voices, a podcast created by Chosen Vessels, which seeks to encourage, equip, and empower leaders in ministry around the globe. I'm your host, Becca Baxter, and this is Chosen Voices. Today on the podcast, we have Shireen Eldridge. Shireen is married to Micah, and they have four Full of Life kids. They live in Omaha, Nebraska, where they serve on the staff at LifeGate Church. Shireen joined me today to talk about a subject that so many people have been asking about: how do we rest well? She shares her wisdom about Sabbath and spiritual practice and how to put that into practice as a family. I'm so grateful for Shireen being willing to sit down and have this conversation with us, and I think you're really going to love it. Here's my conversation with Shireen Eldridge. Hi, Shireen. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today. I'm so grateful to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much, Becca. I am so honored to be a part of this conversation.
I have learned so much from you already, just from your Instagram TV and Instagram stories. I feel like you've already been speaking into my life over the last couple of weeks. I'm so excited for others to hear from you too.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it's been helpful. It's been a fun little journey for me. It started with really just helping some of the moms in my life and realizing that this is a conversation I think a lot of us need to have.
Yeah, I think we are all seeking to find rest, and what a weird season that we're in right now, but it felt like rest started to become the forefront of conversations in the church. It felt like last December, January, with important books that came out. Yes. Everyone got really curious about how do we rest well.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, you could see it coming out. That's great.
So let's start off with just share a little bit about you and your current life context to give our listeners some background.
Yeah. So my husband and I are originally from Georgia. We graduated from the University of Georgia, met there at our campus ministry there, the Wesley Foundation, felt called to come to Omaha, Nebraska, the middle of nowhere, it felt like, and join a church here. And my husband is on staff now. He is the executive teaching pastor, and somehow I landed a job there as well. And so I am now the women's pastor. This will be my third year on staff there as the women's pastor. We have four kids, ages 7, 9, 11, and 13. So our life is full and fun and crazy, all the things.
That's awesome. How long have you guys been in Nebraska?
So we've been here now. We moved here right when my daughter was born, actually. We just had a baby and moved. So 13 years. It's crazy to think about.
That's awesome. What was that transition like? Because you guys moved to join the church, not necessarily to go on staff for positions. Is that correct?
No, we did. So that is what actually brought us here. When my husband was looking for a new role in ministry, we actually thought we would do college ministry on a campus again, since we were at the University of Georgia and we loved it. And, you know, things just weren't working out. We tried several different college campuses and nothing was opening up. And then, I mean, it really was through a random connections along the way. We found out that the church here, LifeGate Church, was then it was called Trinity, was looking for a college age young adult pastor, and they called Micah and we interviewed and ended up out here. So that's where we started as the college young adult pastors, and then have shifted. He was a campus pastor. We started planting campuses here in Omaha and beyond, and he was a campus pastor here in town, and now he has moved into more of a, what we call our central role, and he kind of oversees all of our teaching and leadership development in that area. So, yeah, so it's been a journey being here.
So as two people that serve in ministry and you have family life, a lot of our listeners can really identify with that because they are primarily serving in ministry around the globe, whether they're cross-cultural missionaries or nationals that have started their own ministries. They are seeking to find ways to rest. And so that question came up a couple weeks ago. We put it out to some of our leaders and said, what do you want to hear about? And Sabbath was on every single list.
Yes.
So I was hoping we could start off maybe with just the foundation of what Sabbath is and why we should practice it.
Yes. Oh, I can so relate to all your listeners in that. That is doing full-time ministry, especially, is something that is very taxing, very hard, especially with a family, and to really search for that and desire that rest. I can totally relate. You know, we were on our journey as well for a long time and had heard, you know, you hear Sabbath, you read about it in scripture, and it's something that you just think, oh, that's an Old Testament commandment. And, you know, our rest is in Jesus now. And, you know, you hear all kinds of things now. And we just started not feeling like that is really, it didn't feel good for us. It wasn't enough. And so we started doing kind of our own digging, my husband and I, a couple years ago, and reading a lot of books and just really digging into scripture on it, in it on our own. And just came to the conclusion that this is a practice that I really think is a gift from God to us still today. Yes, it was a command to his people, to the Israelites, but also I really think it was a gift. And here's where I see it is, to me, the best played out is the fact that God on his, you know, seventh day of creation, right after he created Adam and Eve, the first thing they did together, it's in Genesis 2, is they rested together. And I just think that to me was enough to convince me that if the first day on earth after creating Adam and Eve is that God just wanted to be with them and he declared that day holy and set apart and he just rested in the garden with his creation and built that relationship. I mean, if that doesn't show the importance of it, I don't know what does. To me, that was enough to really convince me.
Yeah. I've never thought about it being the first day on earth together. That usually you think of it being the last day of the week, but that's a beautiful way of thinking of it as the first day of enjoying one another. That is so neat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really what kind of turned the tables for me. And then kind of going on a journey from there through scripture and really reading about it. And, you know, I think we could spend this whole conversation just talking about the biblical principles and understanding and really digging into it. But I think I would encourage your listeners to really just go on their own journey of digging into it in the word. You know, I love the passage in Mark chapter 2, verse 27 is also a great one where Jesus is talking about Sabbath and that Sabbath was made for man. And that's such a great reminder also to me that this is a gift that he gives us, a day that is just a gift to his people, I think.
What does it look like practically to start practicing Sabbath?
Yeah. Yeah. That's always the hardest part, right? Like we love the idea of Sabbath. We love this idea of rest, right?
Yeah.
And we love that those words and it sounds so great in theory. And then you start practicing it in real life and it can get really hard. I think there's still some things to remember about Sabbath. Sabbath requires complete surrender. You know, that is a hard thing for some of us, you know, especially if you're in ministry, it's hard to pull back, but it requires surrender of our work, surrender of our lives, right? And really trust that God has everything in his hands. So if we take a day and maybe our work didn't get completely done, maybe there's still emails in your inbox, maybe there are still things that need to be done in your home or at work or whatnot. You know, that is where I think that line is of, okay, I can take a break and I'm trusting God that it's okay that didn't get done and I'll get back to it. And I'll be better on the other side of Sabbath so I can get to this work with a fresh mind, a fresh heart, a fresh perspective. I think that's one of the biggest pieces of Sabbath is that it really requires surrender, especially in our culture today. And that that's against our culture, if you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. To take a break, to stop, even if the work's not fully done. Yeah, I think that's the first biggest concept to understand. Then I think a great thing for everyone to think about, you know, you read about Sabbath in the Old Testament and it can be very, rules and rituals. And that's kind of the way it biblical history throughout into the New Testament, it was just like rules, right? It was things you could not do on the Sabbath. And even still today, I get a lot of people ask questions, well, can I do this? Or should we do this? Or can you do that? And I love how our pastor, Pastor Les at our church says, it's a shift from don't do's to get to do's. And I think when you think of it that way, it really helps shape what that day looks like. It's not what I don't do. It's what do I get to do, you know? And I think that really helps. My husband and I always say it this way. There's no shoulds on Sabbath. I love this. We remind each other of that all the time. This weekend, he said, oh, I should do this. And I said, there's no shoulds on Sabbath.
That's awesome. So that's I love that. I know.
It's great. It's a good reminder. Yeah. So, you know, those are basic things. It's so hard because I am very careful to not give people too many, like, here's what it needs to look like. I think it really has to be a journey for people. I definitely think there are some basics, but I think it really needs to be a journey, you know, something that you grow and discover on your own. Yeah.
Yeah. So for your family personally, what are some boundaries or things that you've placed around that day to protect it? How do you plan for it?
Yes. Yes. So as a family with four kids, it does take a little bit more work as a family than it might for someone without kids or even a single. Although, you know, if your job is demanding, then you do have to think differently on how you schedule and plan and prepare. I think you just have to start somewhere. You know, I think that's the first thing I'd encourage people is just start somewhere. I think for us, ours was, we're just going to start. We're just going to start and figure it out as we go. And I'll tell you what, we came out of a couple of weeks of it going, I do not feel rested. that didn't work, you know? And I'm a one on the Enneagram. So of course I'm going, what did we not do right? What do I need to fix, you know? And instead seeing it is, this is a spiritual practice, right? So we have to take time. And we have to practice and we have to learn when we come out on the other side of how we feel and adjust for that. So for us, it was just, we just started and we had to keep it, I think, flexible. You know, my husband's in ministry and there are times where it works one week on a certain day. You know, we try to do it on Saturdays, but maybe something comes up and there's a ministry event at church that we need to be a part of. And so we really try to look at our week by week. And see where we can fit it in our week for that week. I think that's a great place to start. I have a friend who her husband's a firefighter. And so for them, it looks different all the time, all the time. And I think that's good to remember to keep it flexible. But then as you're looking and you're planning it to put it on your schedule, I think you have to prep for it. So once you get it on your schedule, you know, for us, we put it on our schedule. We know when it's coming. And then I look at our week and we both do, and we kind of really plan our days based on our Sabbath. And I know that can sound silly, but if you work backwards, it works. I know that sounds ridiculous. So, but especially with kids, you know, I think you have to plan, you have to prep, you know, I make sure I get my grocery shopping done, even before Sabbath, because I want to have you know, easy meals to do, or, you know, for us, we use paper plates because I don't want to do dishes. yes. But we do some planning, but then also we try to leave some things kind of loose and fun. I think more than anything, just knowing where it is on your schedule and prepping based on it, you know, putting it on your schedule and working backwards from there and kind of seeing, okay, what do I need to adjust in my week? When do I need to get laundry done or housework done? Or, you know, maybe you have some big things you need to get done before so you can fully rest on Sabbath. I think that's important.
So when you Sabbath as a family on Saturday, are there times during the week where you draw away for personal times of rest? And for Micah, does he have that too? Or how do you balance that needing a maybe a little bit of alone time, whether that's 30 minutes on the porch or if it's whatever it is? Do you guys seek out rest throughout the rest of the week too?
Oh, we really try to. You know, it can feel overwhelming if you just work like crazy until Sabbath. You're going to come to your Sabbath day absolutely worn out. And then it's not going to actually feel like rest and worship and delight. You're going to be exhausted. And so we really try to find time every day to just kind of decompress. You know, for us, Sabbath really has become a lot about, we pull away from tech, we pull away from technology and our phones, and we turn apps off that we feel like distract us, and we put our phones away for Sabbath. But we also, what I've heard from another pastor, we parent our phones. And that means we try to turn off our phones early enough in the evening so where he and I can engage. And it really kind of helps us relax in the evening before we go to bed. It gives us more time to just have conversation. We try to have, no screens before we go to bed even. And that's hard in a Netflix world. Listen, that's hard. But I think that really helps too. If there's a time in your day where you can, you know, for us too, we try to take walks together, or walks separately, you know, or he goes on a jog, whatever, in finding one thing each day that kind of revives us a little bit, and we can separate ourselves like from that technology, from social media or work emails or, things like that. And take a little break, I think is so important. I actually think that helps prepare you better for Sabbath as well. Yeah.
That's so good. And I feel like being in full-time ministry, something about having your phone, you feel like, oh, what if there's an emergency and someone needs to get to me? And, you know, I struggle with that too, of like, well, what if they need me? It's like, okay, Lord, they will find it in you, those types of things. But how do you reconcile that? It's okay for me to put down my phone and set this boundary around my life, just for people in ministry that feel the desire to be available more often, sometimes more often than others.
Yes, we wrestled with that. That was actually part of our discussion early on. Is how can you have this when you're in ministry and people need you? The blessing we have is we have a pretty big team. And so most of our team kind of staggers when we Sabbath. And that's a conversation. If you work in ministry and you have a team of people, maybe that's something you discuss and say, okay, here's when we're going to Sabbath, and here's when we're going to Sabbath. And so you know who is available at different times, and people know when you Sabbath. We're pretty clear. I think a lot of us on staff, pretty vocal about, okay, this is our Sabbath day. It's not like written on a calendar or anything, but if you're that scheduled, then go for it for sure. If that would help your ministry and your team. But, we also trust that everything doesn't rise or fall on us. And I think that's the beauty of a reminder of Sabbath, is that the world will keep moving. People will get their needs met. It's just a reminder that we have limits. We can't solve everyone's problems. We can't get everything done every minute of the day. We're human. We have limits. And to do that, to take that break, and to maybe even trust and let someone else fill that gap for you, you know, in ministry, and trust your leaders under you or someone else that's on your team, I think is really important. And then letting people know, like a lot of our people know that we take breaks, we rest, we value that at our church as a whole, and that's spoken out loud. And so our people understand it, and they get it, and they know. And so some places you can do that. And then there's some areas of ministry where it's hard. People don't understand that. There are needs that come up that are immediate. And, you know, that's also where you can't just be so rules-based that you can't say, nope, I'm not going to answer any phone calls on my Sabbath. I think you have to understand. I mean, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. There were needs that needed to be met. And so I think there's a balance, and you have to hold that kind of tension in that, especially in ministry. It's a hard one, that's for sure. But it's one that requires constant conversation, communication with a team if you have one, and then just holding that open to the Lord and saying, okay, God, where do I have grace to reach out and help? And then where do I need to pull back? So,
yeah. So you talked about there being no shoulds on Sabbath, but do you guys have a list of, for our family, these are our yeses on Sabbath? Like, we eat our meals together, we play a game, and these are our no's. Like, we, I don't know, just do you have a list of yeses and no's, a loose list, like you're saying,
yes, for your Sabbath? Listen, I told you I'm an Enneagram one. There are definitely lists. So some people don't need lists. I need lists.
Me too.
So we love it. I like some sort of structure. I think structure is important. And setting, having that communication, you know, as a family, we do have to discuss it all together. We talk about it with our kids. And, you know, when you have little kids, maybe you're just the ones in charge. But as the kids grow older, we have conversations with them. So they do know, here, today's Sabbath, here's what it's about, you know, and we kind of work from there. For us, Sabbath is rest, worship, and delight. So we really try to incorporate those three key pieces into our day. Like I said, tech, our phones, we try to keep as far away from them as possible. We turn the ringer on, we leave it aside. We try not to, be attached to it like we can be during the week. And we really, you know, I've heard it said by one pastor who said Sabbath is kind of like resistance. It's against the cult. It's like pushing against the culture, right? And mm-hmm. and to be away from your phone for a day even is like seriously pushing against culture. And so that's one of the things that we really, that's one of our don'ts. Let's try not to be on our phones. Even for our kids, we're very, I wouldn't say strict, but we're very conscious of their screen time. We have planned screen time for them, so they know it. They love it. They're excited. But we really limit their screen time throughout the week so that for them, that's their delight. They're excited to have screen time, you know, during mm-hmm. Sabbath. And then that gives my husband and I a break too. So we do have some things that as a family, we kind of look at. We try to be outside if it's not bitter cold, middle of winter. We try to take naps. We also talk with each other and say, okay, what brings you delight, and what brings you rest, and try to balance that. It's kind of hard because you got to remember you've got a family full of people that see things differently, mm-hmm. and so having those conversations and also remembering that maybe one Sabbath is more focused, like, there's times my husband gets up and he goes and takes a long bike ride with a friend, and I'm home, you know, with the kids parenting, and it's still work in a sense, right? You don't stop mm-hmm. parenting, but, my kids know, hey, we're not gonna, you know, it's not going to be like a normal day still. There's time for rest. There's time for, delight, but mostly like, okay, today, this morning, you get to go do what you really want to do, your bike ride with your friend. And then in the afternoon, maybe I'll go meet a friend for coffee, or I get to go on a walk, you know, listening to a podcast or something like that. And just finding that balance. You know, it's also just for us, like, finding ways to enjoy the life that we have in that moment and being grateful. I think that's a great reminder, and that's an important part of Sabbath. That's part of that delight is, yes, we get to pleasure stack. We get to do all the fun things that we wouldn't normally get to do. But I think yeah. it's also just being reminded that we're thankful for what God's given us. And today we just focus on that, the people in our lives, the things that we have, you know, trying not to desire or want beyond that, and just enjoying it. So
that's awesome. A day of enjoyment and delight. I love that.
Yes, for sure.
So when you talk about worship, do you guys have worship components outside of obviously rest and communion with God that I feel like happens more naturally when you take that time to be grateful? Do you have any worship components that you guys implement into your Sabbath day?
So we love to, you know, I talk about Sabbath is set apart, right? It's different. And so we try to set our day differently. We, what we do on our Saturday right before evening, or Friday night right before evening, is we do a big Sabbath clean. My kids know it's like Sabbath clean time. Everyone jump into here, start cleaning because mama needs this so I can rest. And then from there, they know after that, they get our full attention. And we usually do takeout. One kid gets to order, pick out where they get their meal. And we do this kind of, we call like our ritual Sabbath dinner. And we light candles and we sit around the table and we talk about Sabbath. And it's kind of our moment to be grateful, to talk about the things that God did that week for us that we noticed, you know, where was God in that? And where are we thankful and grateful? And it's one of the ways that we worship, I think, together as a family. You know, worship doesn't always have to be music and reading our Bibles. It's community and it's conversation and it's bringing God into all of that. So for us, like, that's a way we enter in to Sabbath, is we feel it's very worshipful. You know, when we sit around the table as a family with a meal and we talk about, remind ourselves what Sabbath is, why we practice it, show our gratitude for the things that he's done for us in the week, and celebrate, you know, maybe something that was exciting for someone that week. And then for my husband and I, you know, the next day we love to read. And we find ways to read books that just put us in a posture towards the Lord where we're learning and we're growing in him. And I see that as an act of worship as well. We both try to find time in our day to really just spend extended time with him. It's a day where we get to spend extended time with him, because the other days, you know, they fill up with so many things. So yeah, that's kind of how we incorporate worship.
As a family, when you started practicing Sabbath, how did you begin to have those conversations with your kids when you were first starting?
Yeah, so it was funny. We started explaining it to them. I don't think they really cared or understood. Kids' lives are like, my life is a full delight. Their lives are all about delight, right? What we really tried to do is explain to them, this is a day where we're really just setting it apart. It's going to be different. And here's how it's going to be different. Mom and Dad are going to try to be away from our phones. You get our full attention. We are going to, it's for the Lord. So it's going to look different here, you know, and explaining to them the things that we're bringing into it for them to understand, you know, that it is different, and that Mom and Dad get a rest, right? Like, that's part of it too. And so we explain to them, there are going to be times where, listen, Mom and Dad are off limits. We need a break. We want to rest. This is how rest looks for us. It's going to be different in the sense of we won't have to do chores that day. You know, they love that part. I think that is the motivator for our Friday Sabbath clean, is because they know the next day, no chores. And for us, they know that that's an important family day, and they get Mom and Dad kind of uninterrupted. And we really, really, it helped more for me and my husband to shift from seeing our kids as work, right? We're parents, so it is work to parent, but inviting them into the delight of Sabbath. And instead of seeing them as part of my work, you know, shifting that mindset and saying, no, I'm going to bring you into this part of delight. I'm going to remove all the other distractions that I have, you know, being part-time on staff and part-time home with my kids, in seeing them as work. And I'm going to change that narrative. I'm going to remove my distractions, and they will become solely my delight, my family and the people around me. And, you know, sometimes too, we Sabbath with friends. We invite friends over. I think Sabbath also is included in community. I think that's part of delight and worship, is when we gather. That is definitely a very big tradition in the Jewish culture as well, is gathering and food and celebrating and enjoying one another. And so we try to do that. And so our kids love that as well. They're always asking, what friends can we have over for this Sabbath? So they know that usually equals sometimes friends too. So yeah, so it really helps them like grow to enjoy and be excited about that day. And they are so excited. You know, the meal that we do, we let them each week, a different kid gets to choose where we get takeout. And they love that. That's another way that we include them, and it's different and unique for us. And so it just brings them into that conversation a little bit easier.
Yeah, it sounds like you've built an excitement around the beauty of this day, that it's anticipated by everybody in the family, which is really neat.
Totally. Yes.
So let's say you Sabbath on Saturday, you get up on Sunday. For people in ministry, Sunday's a really busy work day most of the time. And then Monday, maybe Sabbath didn't go well. It just, family fought, everything just felt harder on Saturday. What do you do on Monday morning after that?
You know, we can get to even the end of Saturday night and already have those thoughts. So, so we have had those Sabbaths for sure. You know, you can't control everything, right? It's not going to be, Sabbath doesn't equal perfect day. It means that we are just changing our mindset in the way we're going to live our life. And we're going to shift it to finding our rest in the Lord, refocusing on Him, taking away the distractions, and connecting with God and with the people around us. And so sometimes connection looks great, and sometimes connection turns into my kids fighting all day long and we get frustrated. So that's just is what it is some days. I think for us, when we get to the end of it and when we've had those days, we always ask ourselves some questions at the end of Sabbath. Do I feel rested? Did I connect with God? And did I delight and find gratitude in the life that He's given me? And I think we always can still look at our day and find those things. It wasn't perfect. Our kids fought. We got frustrated, but we can still look at the day and say, wait a second. No, I still actually do feel rested, or I did connect with God in a way that I haven't in a while, or I got to find delight and I was thankful for this life that He's given me. Sometimes it's just the way we go back and can look at it, right? In the moment, it can feel frustrating, but maybe when you go back and look at it, you can still find those things. But also you may get to the end of it and you may get to Monday and go, I don't feel rested at all. I am so much more exhausted. Some of that will be, you know what, I need to tweak some things. Maybe I put in too much delight. You know, there are people, I am not one of them, but there are people who love to just do things all day long and they're still going to be in their garden or go on bike rides or, you know, hang out with friends all day or do a house project because that's fun for them. And then they get to, you know, Sunday and Monday and they are so exhausted. And I think that's where you have to ask the question of, you know, this isn't a day off. This is a restful, delightful, worshipful day. And maybe finding that balance, like, okay, well, what should I have taken out? Oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that house project. Or, you know, maybe we shouldn't have hung out with friends that felt like, you know, I felt like I had to entertain more. And, you know, I think evaluating it on the other side is really important as well, and asking those questions, but then also not feeling too frustrated when it doesn't go perfectly like we think it should.
Yeah. I guess that's why we say practice the Sabbath, because we'll be practicing for forever to Sabbath.
Yeah.
So for someone that's just starting their Sabbath journey of beginning to practice, what are some resources or places they could look to as they begin this process?
Yeah. First, I'd say just dig into scripture. Start there. Before you start picking up books or listening to podcasts, just ask the Lord to take you on a journey through His word. I think you will see the things you're going to read about Sabbath in a new light because you're consciously looking for it. And start asking questions and journal and write it down like crazy and write down your questions. You know, that was part of our journey, was like, how can this look for us? And yes, it looks like this scripturally and maybe even in history or, but how can this look for us? And then I think from there, the next place is to just first have conversations with your family, right? Because it's not just you on your own personal journey. If you have a family, if you have a spouse, talk and have conversations with them. If your kids are older, bring them into the conversation and have everyone kind of go on this maybe journey of learning together. And then I think the other thing is we have a couple of books that we love. Just recently, even there's a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer that we just love. He has a lot of resources on Sabbath, and we just devoured all of those. I think they've done even some teachings on it. We've done several teachings at church as well. My husband has, and our senior pastor has as well. I think just there's resources out there. There's not a lot. I have looked. There really is not a lot. And even it can be harder because especially when you have kids, like we can listen and learn from all these great pastors and leaders, but sometimes you just need someone practical. And I think if you can find someone in your life who is practicing and say, how do you do it? What do you do? Kind of pick their brain. But there are some great resources out there. I also just read, I think it's called Rhythms of Renewal by Rebecca Lyons. That book is really good. She talks about Sabbath in there as well. Those are for us, it really was kind of our own journey. My husband's read a ton more books on it than I have, but, I think mostly just conversation and learning and seeing how it fits for you. I think that the danger with going on too much of a learning journey is you can get into the don't do's and, shoulds and shouldn't do's. But I think you still have to, be on a learning journey for it, for sure.
That's awesome. We'll link those in the show notes as well as your Instagram handle. If you're okay with that.
Yeah, that's totally fine. I don't have all the answers, but I share some thoughts along our journey as well. So I think that's what I've learned from other people is that they can give you the scriptural background to everything, but a lot of it too is just it's just a journey. It really is. It's a lot of it is a personal journey as you grow in it yourself with your family or on your own. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really, honestly, you model that so well for the people that are looking to you of how to just practically, one, be gracious and kind to yourself and to be on that journey and experience of the Lord. And so I feel like you are the perfect person to point people to when it comes to it, just because of your willingness to live it out in front of people. So,
well, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're still on ours too. That's why it's a practice, right? It's not going to be perfect, but it is something we should be doing, I think. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to add to this? I feel like we've covered a lot in these 30 minutes real quick.
We sure did. I hope it's not too overwhelming for people. I think the biggest thing is to just, like you said, just have grace along this journey and just keep practicing. Keep practicing. I always say at the end of all my little videos, because I want people to not feel discouraged, is that you get to do it again in 6 more days. So if it doesn't go well, you get to do it again. It'll come around again. And then you get to try something different. And so don't give up. Some of them are going to be awesome and you're going to come out and go, yes, Sabbath is so wonderful. And you're going to tell the whole world. And then you're going to have one that's crummy and you're going to say, well, that stinks. So it's okay. There's grace. Be flexible. But just start somewhere. Even if it's a half a day, start somewhere. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Shireen. I really appreciate you giving your time and wisdom, especially in your busy life of raising 4 kids from teens to 7 and serving at your church. So thank you so much for carving out time today to talk to me about this.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks so much, Becca, for having me. And such an honor.
You guys, didn't you just love this conversation with Shireen? Check out the show notes for links to the resources that she mentioned. And I will also add her Instagram handle to the show notes to go follow her and watch her Instagram TV and her lives. She is really living this out in front of us for us to learn from her. And I'm so incredibly thankful for taking the time to share with us today. If you need anything or you want to get connected, feel free to reach out at chosenvesselsonline.org or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Keep up with the latest things happening at CV. Hope you guys have a great day, and I will see you next week.